The national debate which followed accused gunman Jared Lee Loeffner's January 8th Tucson shooting rampage that killed 6 and wounded 13, including U.S. Representative Gabrielle Giffords, followed a familiar script. Conservative commentators and politicians, who regularly accuse their opponents of being traitors, communists, allies of terrorists, and enemies of America, strongly rejected any connection between their angry, hateful rhetoric with politically motivated violence in Tucson or anywhere else. Right-wing talk show hosts like Glenn Beck, Bill O'Reilly, and Rush Limbaugh, as well as conservative politicians like Sarah Palin, dismissed the criticism while narrowly asserting that the accused would-be assassin was mentally ill and his horrendous act of violence had nothing to do with their harsh rhetoric or their frequent use of violent language and gun metaphors. But try as they might to disregard politically motivated violence by right-wing movements in America, there is a record which cannot be ignored. Over the past 2 years, 19 people have been killed and 26 wounded by persons motivated by racist or anti-government ideology, including a security guard at the Holocaust Museum in Washington, 3 police officers in Pittsburgh, abortion doctor George Tiller in Wichita, and 2 IRS workers at a government office in Austin. Between the Lines, Scott Harris spoke with Chip Burleigh, senior analyst with Political Research Associates and author of the report titled Toxic to Democracy, Conspiracy Theories, Demonization, and Scapegoating. Here, Burleigh explains why the Tucson massacre is not an anomaly among politically motivated violence in America.
You know, when you have a whole network of right-wing demagogues and you have political pundits and you have Republican Party officials who tolerate describing the president and his program as not just wrong-headed and a bad idea, but portraying Obama and liberals and leftists as traitors. You know, we're out to destroy America. We have some secret scheme. You know, that creates a milieu where I think violence is more likely. Now, can we say that because Sarah Palin had crosshairs on, you know, Representative Gabrielle Giffords' district, that that's what motivated Loeffner? No, and people who say that are making outlandish statements. But to suggest that 30 years of right-wing demagoguery about liberals selling out America doesn't have an effect. I mean, of course it has an effect. It has an effect that is well studied in social science. And just because someone is unhinged doesn't mean they pick their targets randomly. They usually pick their targets based on being embedded in some kind of political climate or cultural climate in which they think their act is heroic or necessary.
There have been strong objections to the direction and focus of this discussion on the rhetoric, on the hateful rhetoric by many conservative commentators and politicians. They dismiss in general the criticism as misplaced. Many of these conservative folks assert the accused would-be assassin Jared Lee Loeffner is mentally ill, and his act of horrendous violence has nothing whatsoever to do with politics and nothing to do with violent, laden rhetoric or Sarah Palin's use of gun sights on her target list of Democrats. But there is violence out there, violent incidents motivated by politics, pure and simple. But I don't think a lot of those incidents and attacks that have happened over the last 10 or 15 years have been much mentioned in this debate in the corporate media. Maybe you could run down for us some of what we should know about the violence that is occurring there that is certainly politically motivated.
Well, you go back to the mid-1990s as an example of a period when President Clinton was being attacked as having assassinated his political advisor and engaging in all kinds of illegal activities. And the Vince Foster incident was touted all over the right-wing media's evidence that Clinton was a murderer of his own advisor. So, I mean, what comes out of that milieu and the years of kind of vitriol against Clinton and the Democrats? We end up having the Oklahoma City bombing where 168 people eventually died. Nichols is still alive in jail, but Timothy McVeigh was executed for that. And people say, well, there's no evidence that he was in a militia movement, which is technically true, but people don't join militia movements and get membership card. While Nichols was associated with many different militia activists through his sales of survivalist and weapons equipment at gun shows, that McVeigh had moved on into a neo-Nazi cell. And so, you know, to try and argue that McVeigh was not tied to right-wing politics in America is absurd. So we know that political violence is focused on political rhetoric and the cultural milieu. If you look recently, since Obama was elected, there have been 20 people now killed by folks who appear to have been caught up in some kind of rhetoric about the government being illegitimate or paving the way for moral depravity. Look at the killing of Dr. Tiller, the reproductive rights medical doctor who was shot after months of Bill O'Reilly basically calling him a murderer. There's no connection there, they would argue, and some do, but I think there's a connection in the milieu, in the incitement of anger and rage, and the targets are become obvious.
To what extent do you believe a lot of this hate speech and the culture wars that are being stoked by these political figures and the right-wing commentators, to what extent do you think this is camouflage for an entirely different agenda that stokes fear and hatred against immigrants, minorities, Jews, gays, and lesbians, while the rich push their agenda for less government regulation and less taxes and to destroy the New Deal social safety net that was put in place during the Great Depression?
Well, I think most of this tracks back to the attacks on Roosevelt, who was also called a communist, and there's a great book called Roosevelt's Red Record by Elizabeth Dilling. So what we have here is a coalition of moral traditionalists who don't like abortion and gay rights, of anti-communists who have morphed into anti-collectivists and social safety netters, the people who back laissez-faire capitalism and corporate wealth. But what the right-wing demagogues do is create scapegoats to distract us from having the conversation we need to have about building a firmer and sounder and fairer political economic system in the United States. And so, unlike most industrialized nations in the world, we're heading backwards back into that period when it was an oligarchy.
That was Chip Berlay, senior analyst with Political Research Associates. He's the author of a report titled Toxic to Democracy, Conspiracy Theories, Demonization, and Scapegoating. Contact PRA by calling area code 617-666-5300 or visit their website at publici.org.